Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this day for the gifts you shower down upon us. We thank you for the blessings that are without number. Heavenly Father, so many times we thank not you for our blessings, but we thank ourselves. We pat ourselves on the back. And in the pretense of worshiping you, we worship ourselves. Heavenly Father, call us to repentance this day. Help us to hear anew your word and teach us to rely on you for all things and especially for your mercy. Lord God, all these things we pray in the powerful and precious name of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 868. Divine Service 3, page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, your poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray for your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to you, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit.
Blessed be the Lord, who
The Lord be with you.
And with
let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, always more ready to hear than we to pray, or to give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things that we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
Epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory be to Thee, O Lord.
Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the promised Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten. Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning. Gospel that we heard just a moment ago, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and especially these words. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was almost 20 years ago when my wife and I and our family arrived here in Lincoln at Good Shepherd. One of the very first people that we met here in church was a sweet little old lady, widow in the congregation, a lady by the name of Ruth Litz. Many of you remember Ruth. Was very, very early on, before our kids even made the trip here from St. Louis, as we had them finish out the school year, Ruth invited my wife and I over to her house, small little apartment. She cooked up an amazing meal on the small means that she had. It was a wonderful evening as we found out a little bit about her, how she had labored most of her life for Campbell Soup in Tecumseh, her husband in law enforcement. He passed away. She moved to Lincoln. You could see by the look on her face and the way that her eyes welled up that even though her husband had been gone for many years, she missed him terribly and she was still very, very much in love with him. Ruth was in church all the time. This was before we had the new sanctuary. This was before we had church twice on Sunday and also on Wednesday night. She was in every church service, every Bible study, every fellowship activity. She was just always here. And as happens so often to all of us, Ruth got older. She got sick. And she died. It was one of the first funerals that we had here in our new sanctuary as we said goodbye to Ruth. There was something that struck me. Several people that day, on the day of her funeral, several people, those outside of our congregation and even some inside of our congregation, they made comments like this. Well, you know, if anybody was going to make it to heaven, it would be Ruth Litz. How easy it is to fall into the habit to think that what we do on the outside somehow merits favor with God. People meant well, but what they were doing was pointing to the outward actions, pointing to good works. In our gospel reading for today, this parable that Jesus tells, it hits home, doesn't it? Well, it should. How often we play the role of Pharisee. Well, we don't mean to, but we do. We look at what's on the outside. We appeal to what we see, hear, touch, taste, with little or no regard for what goes on in the heart. Two people went to the temple. They went to church. This is where God promises to meet His people in a very special way. The temple was now the structure that was just like, only now permanent, just like that temporary tent of meeting, the tabernacle that moved around in the wilderness where God met His people. That's where God promised to meet His people. And the highlight in the tabernacle and in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, is the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, God's holy law, the Ten Commandments, inscribed by the finger of God on stone. We know the Ten Commandments, right? God's holy law, how we should live, that law that condemns us all. Summed up by Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law that condemns us all. On top of the Ark of the Covenant was a lid of solid gold called the mercy seat. And on top of this mercy seat, on either end, was an angel. What would go on in this Holy of Holies is that blood would be shed. Blood. The blood of animals, sheep, goats, pigeons, doves. This blood would be sprinkled on top of the mercy seat, covering up the Ten Commandments. Teaching the people then, teaching the people now, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is life in the blood. When life is taken away, the blood is what's left, and that blood is what gives life. This was repeated again and again and again. The great day of atonement repeated year after year after year. The people of God knew this. To meet God, you went to the temple. To meet God, you went where God promised to be. You went to have your sins forgiven. In our parable, two people go to the temple. The one, the Pharisee, he's a really good guy. He's a guy who always pays his taxes, who always mows his lawn, who never has the TV or radio on too late at night. His dogs are never barking early in the morning. This guy is like the model citizen. And when it comes to church, he's always there. He's always there. And he's not doing just as much as he could. He's going above and beyond the call of duty. He's just not giving 10% of his income. He's giving 10% of everything. This guy is a really, really, really good guy. He comes to the temple, and somewhere along the line, this really, really good guy who knows the Word of God very well fell off the track. He comes to the temple not for the blood. He comes to the temple to make a name for himself. He comes to the temple with the pretense of praying to God. Prayer is an act of worship. But he's not really praying to God, even though he addresses his words to God. He's praying to himself. He's praying with himself. Amazing prayer. He doesn't lie. The Pharisee prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now don't get me wrong. Extortion is bad. Being unjust is bad. Adultery is bad. Remember, this guy's a good guy. He's not lying. He hadn't done any of those things. The trouble was, he wasn't comparing himself to God's holy law. He was comparing himself to somebody else. And in this particular case, conveniently, he was comparing himself to someone who was an extortioner, who was unjust, who probably was also an adulterer. The guy standing right next to him. The tax collector. I don't know how to describe precisely how down tax collectors were looked upon. How despicable they were treated. Because they were. You could not get a lower profession than to be a tax collector. It worked this way. First of all, you worked for the government. The government expected X number of dollars to be paid in taxes. So the tax collector would go to the individual, and whatever amount of money he could get out of you that was above and beyond what was owed, he got to put in his pocket. Great system. Great way to pad the early retirement account. Not a great way to win friends. Not only are you working for the foreign government, you're a scoundrel on top of it. Maybe today we would think of someone who is deeply involved with child pornography. That's how despicable tax collectors were. And they earned that reputation. You can see why the Pharisee was feeling pretty good about himself, right? But remember, he came into God's house. He came into the temple to pray with himself, to put on a show, to rely on his own outward actions. He was justifying himself. He was self-righteous. The tax collector came into God's house. He knew no one would associate with him. He didn't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable, so he stood far, far off. He didn't lift up his eyes to heaven because he knew how unworthy he was. He had no good works that he could cling to. He had nothing that he had done or not done to offer to God. He had nothing. He pounded on his breast, knowing that all evil comes out of the heart. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds. He pounded on his breast, and he appealed to the only thing he could appeal to. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. Mercy is kind of a generic term. Mercy is a favorable disposition of God toward us. A little more specifically, it is not giving us what we deserve. Wages of sin is death. Our sin has earned for us hell and eternal separation. When we cry out for mercy, as we did just a few minutes ago in church, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. We appeal to the mercy of God. Without the mercy of God, we have no life. Without the mercy of God, we have no reason for living. Without the mercy of God, we have no salvation, because it is God in His mercy that forgives poor miserable sinners. It's a little bit different here in our text, and you can't tell by any English translation. The word for mercy is not the regular common word for mercy. The word is propitiation. He beat on his breast and he said, Lord, propitiate me. That doesn't flow real well in English translations, does it? To propitiate is to have an atoning sacrifice. To propitiate is to set aside God's wrath and anger by means of blood. The tax collector appealed to the blood that covers over sin. The blood that washes us clean. The blood, not of sheep and bulls and goats, pigeons and dove, that had to be repeated. It was never complete. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who shed His blood, His holy, precious, innocent blood, once and for all on Calvary's cross. The tax collector appealed to the blood of Jesus, because only in the blood of Jesus is mercy full and free. My friends, when we cling to and appeal to our own righteousness, when we start keeping score of how wonderful and pious and good we are, and compare ourselves to other people, we will fall into the same trap. Before long, we have no need for God's mercy. We have no need for the blood of Jesus Christ. What God calls us to today and every day is to repent. To repent, to realize that our hearts are corrupt. That we are at the same time sinners, poor, miserable, lost, and saints forgiven and redeemed by God. This is scandalous. But it's true. Unless you are a sinner, there is no mercy for you. Unless you realize the depth of your sin and stop clinging to your own works, to your own self-righteousness and self-justification, Jesus has nothing for you. My friends, today we come into God's house. We know who we are. We said it just a few moments ago. Poor, miserable sinners. We cannot save ourselves. No matter how much the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh trick and deceive us into thinking that we can get good or build up some storehouse or treasury of good works or merit. It's a lie. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and merit. Good works could not avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith clings to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our true Redeemer. My friends, when we have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven, full and free, now our lives change. We have no need to try to earn our way to heaven. We are free. Free to love God and free to serve our neighbor. Thoughts of extortion or being unjust or being unfaithful to our spouse, those things are driven far from us. Why? Because the love of Jesus Christ fills us and compels us. My friends, today, the sweetest words that I heard from Ruth, words that I hear from you, words that God loves to hear. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May God continue to grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our love in the mercy of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, we cling once again, as always, to His mercy. Mercy which creates in us a new heart. We stand and sing the offertory, page 192. Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each roll. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. This time also we worship God with our gifts and our offerings. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. prayers to the church. Please stand as you're able. In addition to those prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we rejoice with Jenny Fritch and Eric Prenicel as they were joined together in holy matrimony at our altar yesterday. We pray for the family of Colin Jeffries, cousin of Andrew Wood, who unexpectedly passed away this last week. And we also lift up our member, Good Shepherd member, Betty Carter, in our prayers. Betty was recently diagnosed with cancer. We pray. Merciful Father, we thank You for the blessings You have bestowed on us, especially for Your mercy to us poor sinners, revealed to us in the gospel and the sacraments. Grant us to seek You where Christ is preached as the propitiation for our sins, and give to us repentance like that of the tax collector in the temple, that we may be bold to come before the throne of grace for help in our time of need. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, You have commanded us through Your Son to pray to You to send laborers into Your harvest. Send to Your church on earth men who will preach Your word in its truth and purity, so that Your elect might be gathered and united in the one true faith. We especially lift up Dr. Allman and his family as they work and labor in the vineyard in Germany. Grant to all fathers and mothers a godly fear of You, that they may diligently teach their children Your word. Give to all Christians the desire to learn Your word, so that we may with confidence confess Your Son's name before all people. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the peace that we have in our country. Grant to us wise and upright rulers who, instructed by Your law, will defend the unborn, uphold Your institution of marriage, and protect us from wickedness and violence, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, the defender of the fatherless and the widow, save us from the love of money and leisure and from addiction to pleasure, that the little ones may not suffer because of us. Open our hearts to generosity toward all who are in need. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Father, we commend to You our sick and our shut-ins, those who mourn and those who are suffering. Heavenly Father, grant mercy for the sake of Jesus. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give to us, O God, sincere repentance and firm faith in the words given and shed for You for the forgiveness of sins, that we may eat and drink the body and blood of Your Son in a worthy manner, and thereby receiving full forgiveness for all our sins. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lord, our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by His glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying, the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, The Common Doxology. Sunday school questions, Jenny in the back is the one to talk to right there. All right. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. You're all invited. One opportunity for adult Bible study today. We are wrapping up our study of Ecclesiastes. Save the best for last. We're in Ecclesiastes toward the end now, so please join us for that. Pastor Murundi's on vacation. We pray God's blessings, R&R, and safe travel for he and his family. They'll be back in about 8 days. Summer's winding down. We're picking up with the fall activities. A week from Tuesday is the beginning of school and preschool here at Good Shepherd. Opening school chapel is at 8:30 on Tuesday the 16th. You're all invited for that. Midweek and confirmation class, we're going to have some pretty significant changes this year. We'll begin on the 24th, Wednesday the 24th of August at 5:30, and that first time is for all students and parents. And parents, if you have a fourth grader that you think is ready to get started, go ahead and bring them, and we'll go from there. 3 weeks from today, on the 28th, we are going to be dedicating KNNA radio station and turning it on the air 24/7 on your FM dial. We're going to have a short dedication ceremony at noon, so that'll be after the 10:30 service, short dedication ceremony, and KNNA is buying lunch for all of you that day, so hot dogs and chips and some other goodies, so plan on that. That's 3 weeks from today on the 28th at noon. Kurt must be doing radio stuff now, but he is set up so that if any of you this morning would be interested and willing to record some short radio spots for us, we're geared up, we're ready to have you do some recording. You know, like, join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:30 for worship at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. That kind of a thing. So, if you're interested in that, Kurt is set up, and the more people and the more voices that we can get doing these little short taglines, the better. Should be lots of fun. Vicar?